Okay, so we wanted to finish the Tosfos on Daf Mem Aleph Omid Beis. The bottom Tosfos is where we're up to. We saw last time that there is a very big Machloikas, Rashi and Tosfos, basically how to learn the entire Sugya. And Tosfos pretty much disagreed with Rashi on almost every single point in the way he learned the Gemara. And according to Tosfos, it really turns out, actually, that the Sugya is l'chayra much more simple than it is according to Rashi. And this is very important, especially, Mes Hashem, when we get to Halacha L'maisa. We'll see how we paskin. So according to Tosfos, remember, Tosfos takes the whole principle of Tofel off the map, as it were. Tofel and Ikar is not our subject. Ikar and Tofel is a Mishnah later on in the Perek. We will get there, Mes Hashem, in good time. But that's not our subject. Our subject is that there is something called machmas hasuda, which Tosfos says is basically there. You would normally eat it with the bread, but even if you're not eating it with the bread, it has the same halacha. It's part of the meal. You're eating it because of the bread, but not necessarily with the bread. And we paskin, you do not make a brocha rishoina, and neither do you make a brocha achroina. Which will therefore help us understand very nicely that that basically refers to pretty much everything we eat during the meal. At least the main parts of the meal. The fish and the meat and the soup, it's all there, as it were, because of the bread. Then you have something which is not there because of the bread, and that is...
Dessert.
In other words, what Rashi called B2, dessert, is according to Tosfos, the second case of the Gemara. And halacha is there, you make a bracha rishayna, but not a bracha achrayna. And remember, this is one of Tosfos' big gains over Rashi, because this now sends us back to the first part of the sugya. In the first part of the sugya, what did we learn? Remember, we had a machlekas, and Tosfos himself told us at the end of the Tosfos Ella that we paskin not like Rav Sheshes. Why not like Rav Sheshes? Because Rav Sheshes is the yochid, and we have to paskin like the rabbim. Rav Sheshes says you make a bracha before and after. According to Rashi, that's what Rav Papa is telling us, because dessert is the case of B2. That was one of Tosfos' problems with Rashi. What are you telling me? That we paskin like Rav Sheshes? What's going on? According to Tosfos, that's neatly sidestepped. Because dessert was not the third case, it was the second. And the Gemara says, what is the halacha in the second case of Dvorim? Haboim Shaloi Machmas Hasuda. The answer is you make a bracha before and not afterwards. And that's our dessert, and that's exactly Rav Huna Rav Nachman. Perfect. Then Tosfos said in conclusion, the very last case of Achar Hasuda is really a throwback to both A and B. So really, according to Tosfos, remember how we defined the sugya last time? According to Rashi, what is the shape of the sugya? There's A and then B1 and B2. According to Tosfos, that's not the shape of the sugya. What is it? It's A, then B, and then
C.
Either call it C or A/B part 2. In other words, this throws you back both to A and to B, and that is, once in you have been achar hasuda, you've been moishech yodayim in hapas. What does that mean? That you've effectively given up, you finished the meal, so then everything you eat now requires a brocha
before and after,
because it's no shaychus to the suda whatsoever. Tosfos, however, just said in conclusion that we don't really have that nowadays. Remember, that was the last point we saw on Thursday. Nowadays, this din doesn't really apply. Why? Because as long as you haven't benched, everything really is always related to the bread. And therefore, this halacha essentially doesn't really exist. Okay, now let's see one more Tosfos. It's the bottom Tosfos, but it goes over the page. If you remember, the Gemara asked on the bottom line, the Gemara asked a shayla. Really? A kasha, actually. Ihochi yayin nami niftere pas. Why doesn't the wine also become exempt by the bread? Now, this was one of Tosfos' big kashas on Rashi. According to Rashi, why would bread exempt it? Because it's tofel. Excuse me, please. What on earth do you mean? What, bread is tofel to the wine is tofel to the bread? What, you mean wine sandwiches? And if you dip the bread in wine, who's talking about that? Obviously you don't make a brocha on the wine. So that was one of the big kashas on Rashi. Now, according to Tosfos, we're in much better shape. Why are we in much better shape? Because according to Tosfos, the issue is not toffle. We're not talking about making wine sandwiches. Rather, we're talking about something which comes machmas hasu'uda. Machmas hasu'uda. In other words, let's immediately see Tosfos, the bottom Tosfos. Ihochi yayin nami niftere pas. Devadai yayin machmas se'uda osi. What does osi mean? It comes, definitely comes as a result of the suda. It's not toffel to the pas. It would be absurd to suggest that the yayin is toffel to the pas. You're not making wine grape juice sandwiches. But it is there, machmas ha-se'uda. What does that mean, machmas ha-se'uda? So Tosfos explains, shu shoyse kame pomim, the fact that he's drinking a number of times. De'ilav ha-se'uda, if not for the fact that this was a proper bread-based meal, loy yishta, he wouldn't drink. Does anybody ever sit down, stam, and take a cup of wine and over the course of an hour drink five cups? You don't do such a thing. So wine by its very nature is there, why? As part of the meal. As part of the meal. So when you wash on your bread, a very nice addition to the meal is the wine. It's not dessert, by the way. It's not dessert that's just saying I for a nice sweet taste at the end of the meal. It's there machmas hasu'uda. So if that's the case, says Tosfos, two words. V'lifterei pas, quote unquote. That is now the Gemara's question. Surely it should be exempted by the bread. According to Rashi, where the issue at hand is toffel and ikkah, the kasha of the Gemara doesn't make any sense because the yayin is not toffel. But according to Tosfos, that our sugya was never discussing ikkah and toffel. What was it discussing? Rather, it was discussing those foods that are there. Machmas hasu'uda. Oh, machmas hasu'uda. Wine is a drink that you have machmas hasu'uda. It's not toffle to the pas, granted. But it's there, machmas hasu'uda. You don't normally go during the day drinking wine. But you'd have it as part of your meal. Therefore, the Gemara has every license to ask, v'lifter a pas. Let the bread exempt it in exactly the same way as the bread exempts everything else, which is machmas hasu'uda. You're not making a bracha on your potatoes or your fish or your meat or your salad, so why should you make a bracha on the wine? The Gemara's question finally makes a lot of sense according to Tosfos. Says Tosfos, Umashani. Umashani, and the Gemara answers, Shani Yain. Yain is different. Remember, if you see the top three words in the next Omud, Gemara says, why is wine different? Degoyrem bracha la'atzmoy. Now, literally translated, goyrem bracha la'atzmoy means it causes a bracha for itself. Now, that's a very vague expression. What does that mean, it causes? So have a look at the top Rashi. Rashi says the goyrim brocha la'atzma means bekama makoymois hubo. Wine appears on the scene in many places, umavarchin olav, and you make a brocha over it, va'afal pi, shaloi ha yutzrichin lishtiyasa, even though you didn't need to drink it. So, what will be an example? Every time you make a kois shol brocha.
Abdallah,
Kiddush, Bris, Sheva brochas, Birkas Amazon. You didn't take a cup of wine because you fancied drink. You didn't need to drink wine. But it's a kosher brocha. So you see that what? It has its independent chashivos. Yain is always considered to be choshev. So the way that Rashi defines goyrim brocha la'atzmoy, it's a little bit of a squeeze in the words. Goyrim brocha la'atzmoy means it is choshev enough to warrant its own brocha even when you didn't actually fancy drinking wine. So you see that what? That has extra chashivos. And if it's extra chashivos, therefore it's not considered, as it were, toffel or bottle or machmas, anything in the world. So look how Tosfos explains now. He brings Rashi, but then he suggests an alternative. Umashani and the Gemara answers Shani, Yayin Dugoyim Brochal Atzmai Pirish Rashi, the Bahar Bemakoimo is because in a number of places, Huba, it comes along. The wine of Arachin Alav, and you make a bracha of it, Afal Pisha, in Srichin Lishtois, even though you don't actually need to drink it. Kagoyin, Bekiddish, Uba Birkas Eirusin, when you have an engagement. Right, that's what it means. Yeah, that's what it means. Ain't Srichin, there was no Tzairach. You're not hungry, you don't fancy drinking wine. But it's a koshal bracha. Basically, whenever we have any type of significant ceremony, it is always produced over wine. Kiddush, Havdalah, Sheva brachas, Bris, Pidyon HaBen. There's always a koshal yain. Always a koshal yain. Talat koshes on Pesach. Why do we have Dalat Koses on Pesach? Everybody will tell you. Obviously, because it corresponds to the four expressions of Geula, Beseder. But that only answers why you have to have four. But why wine? Why not four matzahs? Why not four potatoes? That also corresponds. So wine always has extra significance. Now, says Tosfos, V'Rashbo Pirish. The Rashbo explains, Mishum de Tzorich, Lavorech al hayayin boirei pri hagofen. He explains that the Gemara's answer means something else completely. You have to make a bracha boirei pri hagofen, and yet ubitchilo, initially, keshehu ba'anovim, when the wine was in its grape state, what bracha do you make? Boirei pri hoetz. And yet va'al shar mashkin. And yet, all others, what's the halacha? Shehakol mi'evidvaroi. We learned this sugya once, that all fruit juice, the bracha is shehakol mi'evidvaroi. For the simple reason is that when you actually squeeze a fruit and you extract its juice, that's considered to be a downgrade. When you planted the apple, what did you really have in mind? To eat it or to drink its juice? To eat it, that's its prime purpose. When you eventually squeezed it and you made apple juice, that's considered a downgrade. That's not its prime purpose, and therefore the bracha equally is downgraded. Remember, shahakol nibidvara is always considered to be the least chosh of bracha. Why? It covers everything. Wine, however, is completely different. When you squeeze the grapes, so initially if you have a whole grape, the bracha is bari prio eitz. When you squeeze it, what's the halacha? You don't make shakel, rather.
It's an upgrade.
Right? Oh, it gets its own private bracha. So the Rashba translates the words of the Gemara to mean something else completely. And l'chayre, it fits in the words much more gishmak. The geirem bracha la'atzmoy, it causes its own bracha. Yeah, it absolutely does, i.e. b'r'priya gofer. So of course he agrees in principle to Rashi. Everybody agrees. Obviously the teretz of the Gemara at the end of the day is telling me that there is something significant about wine, and that's why the bread doesn't exempt it. But what is the significance? So Rashi learns the significance is because we always have wine. But kamo mekoy meisuba, at a bris, at a kiddush. Whereas Tosu says, no, it's something completely different. The reason why wine is choshev is the fact that you see that it gets its own independent bracha, and not its own independent bracha, but it's an upgraded bracha as opposed to all other fruits when you have them squeezed, they're actually downgraded. Okay, but either way, it comes to the same thing at the end of the day, and that is, wine cannot be exempted by bread because yain is choshev. Why is it choshev? For one of those two reasons. Now, Umiyo. However, Oimer Rabbeinu Tam. So we've had Rashi, we've had the Rashba, we've had now Rabbeinu Tam. The Bashar Mashkim, Kemoy Mayim V'Sheichor. Other liquids like water and beer, Haboim Machmas Hasuda. Then what's the halacha? Pas Poitraton. No reason why not. L'chayra, that is the inescapable conclusion from our Gemara. If the Gemara says that wine should be exempted, and what the Gemara say, no, wine is different, then you're obviously telling me that if not for that logic, then wine would be exempted. So where all other drinks, where you don't have that logic, they jolly well are exempted. That's what Tosfos says. Da'afilu yayin hava poita. Even wine, in theory, would have been exempted by the bread, ilav, if not for the fact, de'kivei ha'brocha la'atzmai. If not for the fact that it holds its own brocha, it's only because you have some local logic which pertains to wine, that's why the wine for some reason is therefore not exempted by the bread. But if not for that svar being kovea brocha la'atzmoi, then it's same rules, just like the fish and the meat are exempted, so all drinks, no difference in drinks and food. Tosfos is l'chaira making a very, very clear diuk from the Gemara, and l'chaira, we would say there's no room to debate it at all. In other words, everything that Rav Popper spoke about, you might suggest, is only food, but not drinks. But what do you see from the Gemara's kasha and teres with regard to wine?
Includes drink.
That includes drink. Wine is an exception. Why is wine an exception? When the Gemara said you should exempt wine, the Gemara didn't answer, no, wine is a drink. That's not what the Gemara answered.
Wine is chashev.
Gemara says wine is chashev. Why is it chashev? For reasons we stated before. Pseudo, so wine is an exception to the rule. But if it wouldn't be chashev, the fact that it's a drink is totally irrelevant. Therefore, if you have cups of water during the meal, l'chaira, the Gemara is telling you absolutely clearly that you have to, you don't have to make any bracha, and it's exempted by the bread. Now, why is Rabbeinu Tam making such an issue of this? L'chaira, it seems to be overwhelmingly obvious. Says Tosfos, no, apparently it's not so obvious. Udeloi k'machzer vitri. Not like the machzer vitri. You know what the machzer vitri is? The machzer vitri was compiled by a Talmud of Rashi. It's a Rishon, a very early Rishon as well, obviously, if Tosfos is quoting it. But it's compiled by a Talmud of Rashi. So normally you get a pretty good idea of what Rashi holds by looking in the Machzer Vitri. But either way, Tosfos is quoting the Machzer Vitri, Shekosav, Shemavorachin Lamayim Brocha. You do make a brocha on water, and not only do you make a brocha, Bechol Pam Upam. Every single time. How can that be? Va'afilu betoich hasu'udo. Even during the meal, if you have 3 cups of water, 3 brochas. How on earth can that be? Dahava kenimlach. Now, nimlach is a very, very important word. Nimlach means finished or change your mind. Change your mind. What's the halacha if I now sit and I drink a cup of water and I decide that's it, I don't want to drink anymore? 5 minutes later, I decide, no, on second thought, I do want to drink. What's halacha? It's nimlach. You change your mind. This cannot be considered as a continuation of the previous drinking. If it would be a continuation, then the same bracha that exempted the first cup will exempt the second and the third and the fourth ad infinitum. But if it's nimlach, and this, by the way, is a very, 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 very important principle in thousands of places whenever you're discussing brachas. I'll give you a classic example. Imagine you're in the middle of davening and you need to go to the bathroom. So you take off your talis, and when you come out the bathroom, you put your talis back on. Just make a new bracha?
No.
No? Why not?
Not nevertheless.
Because no, it's not nimlach. Nimlach, as you say exactly, Rav Ram, the yesod of nimlach is 2 words, hesachadas. Have you removed your mind? When I went into the bathroom, I didn't remove my mind. I knew this is a temporary thing. I'm planning to put it straight back on. But what would be if you took your talus off after davening, you fold it up nicely, and you're just about to put it in the bag, when somebody says to you, hey, would you like to learn with me for 30 minutes? Oh, okay, let's stay in the base of Medish. You know what? Might as well put my talus back on. Why not? Makayim mitzvah the whole time. Do you have to make a brocha? For sure. What do you mean? But you only took it off for 10 seconds. When you enter the bathroom, you took it off for 5 minutes. Doesn't make a difference.
What about the tefillin?
Tefillin is different. Because there's an issa to wear tefillin in the bathroom. therefore it's considered an absolute break. There's no issa essentially to wear talus.
You make another bracha when you put on it, right?
Yeah. Right.
Even if you're in the middle of, let's say, between Baruch Shammai.
Oh, that's everything, because you can't be mafsik. But essentially, you need to make a new bracha. So then you'd be mamashmish, be a tefillin after, you make a new bracha. Essentially, you're allowed to wear talus in the bathroom.
Yeah, we wear talus.
Oh, that's the greatest proof. We all wear our tzitzis in the bathroom. Nobody said you have to take off your tzitzis in the bathroom. We happen to have a minig that we take it off. Fine. But it's not considered an absolute hasachadah. So therefore the same is true not only with mitzvahs, like talus and tefillin, etc., but also with food. Says Taisus a tremendous chiddush, that when you drink a cup of water during the meal, the general mindset is, I'm having a cup of water because I'm now thirsty, and that's it. It's nimlach. Quoting the name of the Machzor Vitri, right? And if I happen to want a new cup of water 20 minutes later, that's nimlach. So this is a double whammy chiddush. Not only does he say that it's not considered to be machmas hasuda, and therefore it requires a bracha, but more than that, it requires a bracha every time. Rabbeinu Tam said it's not true. The bread exempts it. The Machzor Vitri says it doesn't. Now, Rabbeinu Tam brought l'chaira an overwhelmingly clear proof to his position. What was that? From the Gemara's Shaila and Tshuva with regard to wine. The Gemara says, oh, why don't we say that wine should be exempted? What was the answer? Because it's choshev. Now, according to the Machzor Vitri, we have some serious explaining to do. Why? Why did the Gemara not ask with regard to every drink? Every drink. Why did the Gemara not ask? Forget wine. Okay, wine you managed to squirm out of because wine is unique. It's geir and brocha la'atzmai. Fine. What about orange juice? What about sheikha? What about mayim? Why is that not exempted? Why did the Gemara never pose that question? So according to Tosfos, it's very good. Do you know why we never pose that question? Because it is exempted by the bread. It jolly well is exempted. You can't ask the question, why is it not exempted? It is. But according to the Machzor Vitri, it's not exempted. So why did the Gemara ask the question? The terrors that the Gemara gives to wine does not apply to other drinks. Only wine is kaveya brocha la'atzmoy. So the Gemara should have continued and said, all right, wine, you've answered. We haven't answered water. Says Tosfos, v'hod loy porich hocha. The reason why the Gemara did not ask over here, miyayin, that's how the Bach changes the girsa. Why didn't we ask about wine, or only wine? Why did we only ask about wine? Why didn't we ask about all other drinks? Mishum de yayin zayin. What does zayin mean? We've had this word before. It sustains. Hazon es hakol. Brachas hamozayin. Wine satiates. Avol mayim loy zayini. And therefore what? Wine satiates. Now, if wine satiates, is that a reason that it should be exempted by the bread or not be exempted by the bread? The fact that something is zayini, it should be exempted. The more it satiates you, the more it's considered part and parcel of
the meal.
It's not an extra. Therefore says Tosfos, quoting the Machzor Vitri, that's why the Gemara only asked in the case of wine. Because wine is zayini, and that's why the Gemara said, if it's zayini, surely it should be exempted by the bread, because it's an integral part of the meal. Water, however, is not zayini. How do I know? Kedoma, as it is stated earlier on, Hanoida min Hamozoin, etc., etc., etc. Therefore, Upshita, therefore it was obvious to the Gemara, Deloi Potar Lohu Pas. Therefore it was obvious that it does not get exempted, De Einoi Bichlal Birkas HaPas, because it is not incorporated on the bracha of the Pas. Therefore, do you know why the Gemara didn't ask it? Because it's not Zayni, and therefore the Gemara was more than happy to understand that what? That what's the halacha of Shaar Mashkim? It's not exempted. So if you can't turn around and say, surely it should be exempted. No, 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 no. The Gemara was very happy that it's not exempted.
But now he's taking the point of view of the Machzavitri.
Yeah, he's just quoting the Machzavitri. He's not agreeing with him. This is all a quote of the Machzavitri. If you ask Rabbeinu Tam personally, what will Rabbeinu Tam, that's what Tosfos is going to say in the next line. You do not make a bracha on drinks during the meal. Why not? Because they are exempted by the Pas, and that's evident by the Gemara. The Gemara only ever queried wine, and the answer is that wine is unique, but everything else is jolly well incorporated by the Pas. The Machzavitri went 180 degrees differently.
Rashi?
Rashi,
maybe Bedas Rashi, but Akopon in the Machzavitri and says that what? No! You do have to make a bracha on Shaar Mashkim. If you want to know why the Gemara didn't ask it, it was because it was so obvious. It was so obvious that it requires its own bracha. Why does it require its own bracha? Because it's not Zayni. No, other drinks. Because they're not Zayni. If they're not Zayni, don't tell me it's part of the meal. That's why the Gemara didn't query it. Tasis is not. Shaar Mashkim. Furusha Gemara. That it is not.
How? You break it on oranges. It's a satiating factor.
No, because it satiates.
The sugar stuff, it sustains.
I can't argue. I don't know. Tosa says at least Mayim is not Zaini, and therefore we only ever asked with regard to wine. So we have a huge halacha lemaisa machlekas over here. What do you do during the meal when you have drink? Says Tosa now over the top. Miu. Ridari and Rabbeinu Tam, who are all, by the way, grandchildren of Rashi. They used to say, Shaloi levorech klal. We do not make a bracha at all, ashar mashkin, on all other drinks. What does other drinks mean besides for what?
Wine.
Besides for wine, habo'in b'toich hasuda. Anything that you drink during the meal, you do not make a bracha on, v'taima, and the reason is, the pas, poiteres, because bread will exempt kol hadvorim habo'im bishvila. It exempts everything that comes as a result of it. Vahashta, says Tosfos, yayin poiter kol mine mashkin. Wine would exempt all other drinks anyway. Lefisha ikar mashkehu. It's the main mashke. What does that mean? It's the main mashke.
Yeah, nothing to do with ikar and top.
Right, it's just the most choshev. Vuhu roish. L'chol minei mashkim, we'll see how Tosis defines this. It's the roish. What does it mean, it's the roish?
King.
It's the king drink. U'lekach hu ha'ikah v'hein tfeilin loy. And everything else is considered to be tofel le'inyon brocha. V'hilkoch. Therefore, Tosis sums up. Mashkin ha'boim machmas ha'sudo. Drinks that come as a result of the sudo she'boim bishvil ha'pas. They're coming for the bread, lishrois ha-maichol. If it is to dip the food in, that's the most obvious case, that what? That's an ikar and tofel. V'gam i'efsha la'achila b'loi shtia. And anyway, you can't really eat without drinking. Even if you're not actually going to dip your bread in the food, you can't have a food meal without drink. Therefore, the drink is always there, essentially helping the food. Elkoch pas poitrason, and that's why bread will exempt it. Chutz, mina yain. Yain is different, as we said before, the Gaoma, Gemara, Taima, for the reason that the Gemara said, which is that it's goyer and bracha la'atzma. According to Rashi, means because you make a bracha wine in many, many places. According to Tosfos, means because it has its own private bracha. Now, says Tosfos in conclusion, well, a high timer. According to this way of reasoning, Nicha, it is understandable. Ma she'onu mevorchin bePesach, alachazeres, quote unquote, alachilas morayr, levad. When we have our morayr, do we make a bari pri adama?
No.
The only bracha we make is
alachilas
morayr. That's what Tosis is commenting on. Nicha, it is good, comfortable. Ma she'onu mevorchin bePesach alachazeres. Chazeres is the word for morer. Which bracha do you make? Alachilas morer. Levad. Now, why is that need explaining? Sheha'olam makshim, because the whole world have difficulty and they all ask, Amai ein mevorchin nami? Why do you also not make a bracha boirei priu adama? Ubeirei priu adama deshar yirakos, and the boirei priu adama that you might make on other vegetables, einoi poita, won't exempt the morer. Kudu ka'omar hosam.
I was talking about the
kiven de ikah hagoda v'halel aseich daiti. Will you have a karpas in the beginning of the meal? Now it's true you make a hadama over that, but that's not going to help for the morer. Why not? Says Tosas, because you have Haggadah and Halil, therefore there's a massive big gap, and therefore you have Masiach Das.
That's why we don't need the Ksayas.
Oh. So for everybody asks, says Tosas, Makshim Ha'olam, if that's the case, then your Hadoma, number one, cannot really exempt your Hadoma, number two, the Morer. So why are you only making a Bracha? Alachilas Morer, L'chayre, you should have to make a Bracha as well. But Priyadama, it's a huge question. Says Tosas, now I have the answer. Elo vadai taima. It must be that the reason is kiven derachmona. Seeing as the Torah kovei chayva, seeing as the Torah established it as a chiyuv. Because it says, quote unquote, Al Matzo Yisum Roirim Yoichluhu. Therefore, Hava, it is therefore considered Kamoi, Dvorim, Horagilim, Lovoi, Machmas Hasuuda, De Pas Poitraton. A tremendous Chiddush. Why is this a tremendous Chiddush? The whole year round, besides for one night a year, nobody in the middle of the meal takes a piece of morer and eats it. So if you would ask me, is this morer on Seder night considered to be machmas hasuda or shaloi machmas hasuda? I would have said it's shaloi machmas hasuda. I mean, the proof of the pudding is I never have it during the rest of the year. I have fish, I have soup, I have meat. I don't have morer in the middle of the meal, for goodness sake. So l'chor that shaloi machmas asuda, so it should require a bracha. And don't tell me the hadoma over the karpas helps, because that was 2 hours ago and you've long been masiach das. Says Tosa, a tremendous chiddush. It is considered to be machmas asuda. Why? So Tosa says two words. Derachmone kove chayva. What does that mean, derachmone kove chayva? If Hashem has established that it's an obligation, so it therefore becomes necessarily inherent part of the meal. So we're learning over here a new definition or an expanded definition of Haboy Machmas Asura. Haboy Machmas Asura doesn't necessarily just mean it's there because of the bread, because I happen to have chosen it, even if it's there because it has to be there. Who decided it has to be there? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it becomes, by definition, an integral part of the Suda, because you can't have a Suda without. What's the difference, says Tosfos, if you can't have a Suda without drink, or you can't have a Suda without morrow? One is for physical reasons, and one is for halachic reasons. What's the difference? That's why Tosfos just made that introduction, and that's what he meant when he says, Ulahai taima nicha. What does it mean, ulahai taima? According to the reasoning we just suggested, you cannot have a meal without drink. Why? Because you just can't. So physically, it becomes an integral part of the Suda. Well, there's something else that you can't have a meal without. And what is that? Moroir on Seder night. So therefore, says consider Dvarim a Machmas HaSuda. Therefore, says Tosfos, I've managed to answer the question that Makshim HaOilam, the whole world are busy asking the question. So Tosfos, I have a teretz now. It's considered to be an integral part of the Suda. It's true you never ever eat it during the other 353 nights of the year. Manishtanu alayla azeh mikol alaylois.
Nevertheless, we all teach our children when they had the carpets.
Yes, we'll see it again. Aloch HaLamayis is complicated, as you mentioned. Nachum with Makbid, have less than a kazayis, etc., etc., etc. But I'll call upon him v'hoifen. That's maybe for different reasons. That's for bracha achreina purposes. If you make hadoma of the karpas to the country, it does say that when you make a bracha on the karpas, you should have in mind the moral. The reason why we don't have a kazayis is to avoid issues of a bracha achreina. That's a different question. Okay, so either way, we're emerging from this tesis with a tremendous, tremendously important chiddush. There is a humongous machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos. What is the translation and the meaning of the principle Dvarim Haboim Machmas Asud? It's a huge machlokes. According to Rashi, it means one word. What does it mean according to Rashi? Toffel. That's what it means. Tosfos rejected that for a number of reasons, but the prime reason is this is not the sugya of Toffel. Toffel is a Mishnah, Mefureshes, later on. I don't need a Gemara or a Papa to discuss what's written clearly in the Mishnah. So according to Tosfos, Dvarim Haboim Machmas Suda is not Toffel. What is it? Anything which is considered an integral part of the meal, that the meal can't do without. Anything which is zaini, anything which is halachically required, physically required, doesn't matter why it's required. If it's required, it's considered to be part of the Suda. Dessert, by the way, is what? Shalom machmas ha-Suda, why not? You can have a meal without dessert. It doesn't fill you up, doesn't satiate you. Nothing to do with the meal. But when you have your bread and you have your meat and your potatoes and your fish, that's the main body of the meal. Now this is the tremendous chiddush. I wouldn't have thought that moroir is considered an integral part of the meal. Why wouldn't I have thought that?
You never have it.
I never have it. It's not filling me up. I don't particularly enjoy it. So how can you consider that part of the Suda? And that really is what the Makshim HaOilam is all about. That's why the whole world are busy asking this kasha. It's a massive kasha. The Moroir is not part of the Suda. So why doesn't it require its own bracha? Forget Al Achilas Moroir. Why is there no bracha? Where Pri Adama? Says Tosfos, but according to my definition, it's good. Because my definition is not like Rashi, whether it's Tuffel, but rather, is it considered to be an integral part of the Suda? And here the Chiddush is, if the Torah instructs me to have it, then one night a year it becomes an integral part of the Suda. It's an unbelievable thing. It's a question for you, Rav Moshe Zedek. Used to be for me. When somebody in Eretz Yisrael, for example, goes to Chutz La'aretz for Pesach, there's a whole bunch of questions that need to be asked on the second night. On the second night of Pesach, somebody who's a Ben Eretz Yisrael has no chiyuv to conduct a Seder. Seder, but he'd like to with his family. So there's a whole bunch of questions. We now see from Tosfos, this is going to be one of the differences. You will have to make a bracha on your moroir. At least according to Tosfos. I'm not saying it's halacha l'maaseh. Why? Because on the second night of Pesach, you can't say that the Torah was koveya, it's a chayiv, it's no mitzvah. So why are you having it? To keep your grandchildren happy. Peseda.
You wouldn't make the abrakosis, you'd only make it once.
Oh, different shaylah. Abrakosis, there's also a whole big balagan. Maybe you have to make bracha achreina on the arba cases. It's a lot of shailas. Moroir is one of the shailas, and now we can see why. Makshim ha'olam, the whole world asked, surely you should always have to make a bracha on the Mora. It's not considered part of the Suda. So what was Tosfos Machadish for us? It is. Why is it part of the Suda? Because the Torah says I have to eat it. Oh, but not on the second night Seder if you're a Ben Eretz Yisrael. A Ben Eretz Yisrael, you want to eat Mora, that's your prerogative. You can have Mora all night long, but you can't say that the Torah says I must eat it, and therefore... Again, whether it's halacha l'maisa or not, we have to see in Shulchan Aruch. But that l'chayra would emerge an enormous nafka mina l'halacha. The way Tosfos is learning. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, there is a whole sugya of pasabo b'kisnin, which is the Tosfos that we missed out. It's also the sugya which is coming up. But I'd like, with your permission, maybe to look a little bit in Shulchan Aruch, as we've been doing in some of these sugyas, because if we launch into Pasabo B'Kisnin, which is a whole independent subject, I think we'll lose the flow of what we've just learned. So let's make a start to the Shulchan Aruch. Kuf Ayin Zayin, 177. Kuf Ayin Zayin. And I think it's fair to say that these halachas are so important that it's literally ma'isim v'chol yom. This is not a what-if question. I mean, this happens every single day of our lives. So this is Sif Aleph and Sif Beis that we're going to do. Kufayin Zayin. Have it? Kuf Ayin, sorry. Kuf Ayin Zayin. Two simonim. Yeah, you got it. Yep. Kuf Ayin Zayin.
Kuf Ayin Zayin, you go back.
Yep,
you're there.
Kuf Ayin Zayin. So what's the title of this simon? Dvorim. Haboim betoich hasuda va'achar hasuda ma'adinom. Okay, that's our subject. Uboy hey seifim, and there are five seifim we're going to learn. Be'ezer Hashem Yisborach, at least the first two. Now, let's just not make a mistake. I don't want anybody to be making an understanding. This is not really the correct way to learn halacha. Why? Because we learn Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, which is tremendous. But really, to know the full background of the halacha, you'd have to see all the Rishonim. You'd certainly have to see the Rosh, and the Rif, and the Rambam, just before you get moving. But I think we've certainly done enough on the sugya to get a pretty decent idea of some of the background. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Dvorim Haboim Betoi Chasu'udo. So that's the headline over here. Those items that come during the Suda. Im heim dvarim haboim machmas asuda. So we have underlined the word betoich, underlined the word machmas. The headline is it's betoich. Now, if it comes machmas asuda, what does that mean? Dahainu. Dvarim shederech likboya suda aleihem. It's the norm to be koveya asuda over them lelafes bohenes apas. Now remember, Rashi, what's it?
Lelafes
to be as an addition to the bread, serving the bread. Now, Rashi learned that dvarim aboy machmas asuda means it's actually melafes apas. Tosfos learns no. Anything that you would normally have as an accompaniment to bread. So we see clearly the Shulchan Aruch is passing like Tosfos. According to Rashi, that's not how you'd write the halacha. You'd write, Haboy machasuda pirish, that it's there to be malafis and zapas. Tosfos, the Shulchan Aruch says, no. Dvorim she derech likvoya. Okay, what will be examples? Kagoin, Bosor, Dogim, Beitzim, Yerokois, Gvina, cheese, the Daisa, porridge, Mine Meluchim, all types of salted foods. Afilu oichlom beloy pas. Even if you eat them without bread. Remember, according to Rashi, it's only if you eat them
with bread,
because that's what this sugi is all about, Ikar and Tofel. And Tosfos didn't like that. Says Tosfos, no. Even if you eat it not with the bread, ein tu'unin brocha lifnehem. So we are paskening alocha lemaisa like Tosfos, and I'll tell you a little secret. Look at the very first word in the Shulchan Aruch. You see the word Dvarim? And you see this little Aleph. So look in the top left-hand corner of your page, where it says Be'er HaGoyla, and you'll see Aleph. Brochas Daf Mem Aleph, Lepirish HaToisvus. And it's also the Rosh. And then he says, actually, V'chein Lebal Alochas Gedeleis. It's also the Bahag. And now, if you really want, you can add in brackets, not like Rashi. So the Be'er HaGoyla always fills you in a little bit of the background. Where is the Shulchan Aruch coming from? The answer is it's coming from a Tosfos and a Rosh. And we now know, unlike Rashi, Rashi learns differently. So what's the halacha? Ein tu'unin brocha lefnehem. They do not require a brocha prior to their eating. De birkas hamoitzi poitraton. Because the brocha of hamoitzi exempts them. Now it's true, Moirav Raboisa. I think we all knew this before we started learning the sugya. But isn't it a pleasure to now know what we're actually doing? I think we all knew, Baruch Hashem, that when we have meat during a bread-based meal, that we don't make a bracha. Fine, it's true. But at least we now know where we're coming from, and we know where the Gemara is, we know the Machlokes Rishonim, and then we see the Shulchan Aruch. So you don't make a bracha lefneim. V'loi la'achreim. Neither do you make a bracha
afterwards.
Why not? The Birkas HaMazon Peitraton. So we have Birkas HaMoitzi patters the Brocha Lefneim. Birkas HaMazon patters the Brocha L'Achreihem. And therefore you're left with zero obligation to make any Brocha before or after. This is all on foods which come Machmas HaSudah.
Didn't we learn with Daisa that it was
low
Machmas HaSudah?
Kunt Rashi.
Okay. But Tosfos didn't erase it.
Right. No, yeah, he does. Because according to Tosfos' definition, it's anything that you'd normally have as an integral part of the meal. Ve'im heim dvorim haboim sheloi machmas ha'su'udah. So we've switched now. Until now we were talking about machmas ha'su'udah. Now we're talking about she'ein. What would that be? Dahainu she'ein derech likboya su'udah alayim. Lelafis benesapas, i.e., those types of foods where you would not normally be kaveya suda kagoin teinim va'anovim. Ah, beautiful. That's which part of the sugya?
The first part.
The first part. Ravuna and Ravnachman. V'chol mine peirois.
Again, if you have it as an appetizer.
Yeah, we haven't discussed that yet. Then im oichel oisom beloy pas. If you eat them without bread. Tu'unin brocha lifnehem. If you eat them without bread. That means if you eat them with the bread, if you put a piece of apple on your bread, say this, you made apple sandwiches. But if you don't, you cannot consider it dvarim aboim machmas hasuda, it's not. And therefore, what's the halacha? Tu'unin brocha lifnehem. Why? The bracha samoitzi einoi patratam. I'm very sorry to tell you, the bracha samoitzi cannot possibly
exempted.
The lav me'iker su'uda heim. Because not part of the su'uda. It's what we called dessert. Ve'einom, however, tu'unim brocha l'achareyem, tekiven shebo'u b'toich ha'su'uda. At the end of the day, even though it's not an integral part of the meal, but it was eaten during the meal. And therefore, Birkas HaMazon Poitrasom. Fine. Okay, we'll stop over here. I would suggest, let's try, before Tuesday, have a look at the Shulchan Aruch with the Mishnah Brura. Don't look at the Bi'ah Halachas for the moment. Shulchan Aruch Sif Aleph, Shulchan Aruch Sif Beis. Those are the main two Sifin that we're going to learn. So, okay, we'll hold it here.